I was so detached. I didn't want to talk to anyone. I was exhausted, less sleep, always tired. Mostly, I was irritable.
Welcome to another Baby Brunch podcast. I'm Ilana. You can find our podcasts on babybrunch.co.za. A big, big thank you to our support. Really, without you, we cannot make and create these beautiful podcasts and videos. And we say thank you for your support. A big thanks to Epimax, Baby and Junior, our family, sponsored by Curaprox and supported by Jacaranda FM. Today's podcast is extremely important for us as parents and Baby Brunch because the month of October is exciting. We get to do change in the mental health space. October is Mental Health Awareness Month. And as parents and Baby Brunch, we thought, why not bring in an extraordinary mom? Her name is Kelebogile. She wants to share her story with us. And then we're going to bring in our psychology coach who's going to talk about the subject of mental health, postpartum depression, and also a journey of healing. Stay right where you are. First, a thanks to our support. Curaprox aims to create 1 billion healthy smiles. A healthy mouth means a healthy body and mind, creating better health for you. Great oral health starts from day one. It's never too early to start. Curaprox Baby gets your child on the right path of starting healthy oral care habits for life. This podcast is supported by Epimax, the dermatologist-recommended skincare range specifically formulated to hydrate, soothe, and protect. Whether it's dry skin, sensitive skin, or just everyday moisture, Epimax has a solution for everybody. Fragrance-free, hypoallergenic, and suitable for all ages. Kelebogile, welcome to Baby Brunch.
Thank you for having me.
How was your morning?
Wild. Very wild. Mixed up with daycare and a whole lot of things.
Okay. Yeah. What does an ordinary day look like for you?
Waking up early in the morning, preparing him before I wake him up because, well, we fight every morning. Mm-hmm. I dress him up asleep most of the time.
How old is your boss?
He's 2 years old.
Mm. I know that feeling.
Big boss.
Yeah.
Very boss.
You know what? At age two, I remember my little one standing on the table and she knew I was going to catch her. She knew. So she would jump. It tired me out. It tired me out. And now today, she still walks on jungle gyms and she does really acrobatic, crazy things that makes me very, very nervous. So I just want to say good luck.
Thank you. I feel so much better. Thank you. Thank you.
If you had to tell anyone who you are currently, you can take your brag because I know you're an entrepreneur as well. Who are you? Who is Kelebogile?
Kelebogile is a quantity surveyor by trade. A mom to a wildly curious 2-year-old boy, to be precise. Very adventurous. And as you said, a businesswoman. Born and bred in Rustenburg, originally from Pugeng, and navigating life.
What do you think, if you had to think of what shaped you in motherhood to who you are today, what would you say has been the biggest thing that has shaped who you are today?
Self-awareness. Being aware of every trait that, okay, now I'm overstepping, or maybe now I am not present the way I want to be present. Self-awareness, I can say that. Because going through the emotions, learning through motherhood, because I lost my mom. So I'm navigating through this with the help of my sisters and friends who are already mothers. So being aware of when you're overdoing it or when you are burned out is important.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I did not think of all the things that you would say self-awareness is the one thing that has shaped you as a woman and as a mom.
Yeah.
To those of you listening, we're going to soon bring in our psychology coach and we want to talk to her about how to recognize postpartum, how to recognize sadness or depression, how to heal. But Kelebogile, I think you are extremely brave. Do you know how we got a hold of you?
Yeah.
We got a hold of you because when we need to ask for help, right?
Mm-hmm.
a lot of the time we're afraid. And you're courageous because you knocked on a door. And we happen to be friends with the people that you knocked on the door of. And when we said that we need an inspiring mom, they pointed us to you. Why do you want to share your story?
There's someone else who's probably going through it. And maybe, as you said, we are fearful most of the time of judgment. So hopefully there's someone who's listening to me, a mom, who feels that I also went through that, or I'm still going through it, and there's a light at the end of the tunnel. But there's a chance that you can be yourself again and be a great mom the best possible way you can. Yes.
What did you go through?
Depression. It was exhausting. Most of the time we focus on, okay, let me say personally, we focus on the postnatal part, but we forget that the pregnancy itself can be overwhelming. And now there's this new person you're taking care of, 100% reliant on you, and some of the issues might come up, or you just take up from the prenatal or the post-traumas, now they come in and they build up. That was the problem for me. Because I did go through a miscarriage in 2017. I did seek help. I went to see a psychologist for almost a year. And I thought I was over it. But the moment you find out you're pregnant, now all the fears that you thought you overcame, they start flooding in.
What were you scared of?
Losing another child. And it was not easy because almost the time where I lost my first, I got an infection that almost made me lose my son again. So there's no time to feel sorry for yourself. You need to pick yourself up, manage your stress level, because now you're running on a very thin line. So you're on survival mode. Every day as it comes. Every little cramp you're feeling, is it that? You're anxious. So most of the time I was detached in my pregnancy because I was fearful that if I get too attached, what if I go through that again? But yeah, we made it. We made it. He's here. Naughty. Yeah, it was worth it.
But then when we say we made it, what does that look like?
A blessing. It's a blessing that at one time you were hopeful and then it went away. But now, here we are. You're holding him. He's growing every day. As you said, motherhood just makes you aware of so many fearful things that you didn't think you had. As you said, he jumps off the couch. The first thing is like, oh my God, he's going to get a concussion. But no, he's crying and then he's fine. Yeah, it was that.
What else does motherhood give you other than the fears?
Personally, I learned to be selfless. I've been a very selfish person. I'm selfish with my time. If I don't feel like talking to people, I shut off. If I don't feel like waking up, I don't get out of bed. But now, whether you want to or not, it's going to wake up at 1 a.m. and wants to play. You have to wake up and play. Whether you're sick today, you're going to take care of him. Yeah. You become selfless. I've learned that. I'm still learning it. Taking it.
I want to talk about you becoming a mother. So you really wanted your blessing. You really wanted this son of yours.
Yeah.
And now you're filled with fear. You're falling pregnant. What was the early days like when you realized you're pregnant again?
Woo! A lot. As I said, you think that you've overcome all those fears. Now, the first thing that comes to mind is, what if I go through it again? But then you're thinking, okay, finances, job, support, At the time, I was working in Mpumalanga, so I was away from support system. My sister's in Joburg, home is in Rustenburg. My partner at the time, we were in the same city, and then all of a sudden, he got a job in another city, and I was alone. Mm. So now, and I'm working on a construction site. There's a lot happening. Now you limit your movements because there's dust on site. When you walk around, you have to be cautious. But as I said, you pray. You keep the faith that, okay, I got this.
It's interesting because we paint this picture, right, that motherhood is only good. And when I say that, we're all surrounded by social media and things, you know. Even here on Parent and Baby Brunch, the way we talk about things is if there's a problem, we always believe that there's a solution, you know. Mm. We always believe that there's a solution. So we want to always stay positive, you know, and feel like we can help everybody, and that and we know our children are blessings. Like, I honestly believe that every child that is born to save the world. They will. Mm. Bit by bit, attitude by attitude, tantrum by tantrum. Okay. Like, I honestly feel and believe that. But was motherhood what you expected it to be?
No. No. When my sister had my nephew, when he starts crying, I'd pass him to go to your mom. Now I'm the mom they're passing him to. And every day there's something new. He has a runny tummy, he has the fever. Every day there's something new. And I said, even during pregnancy, you think, okay, I'm eating healthy. You start searching on Google what to eat, what not to eat. And then something so small as an infection can just take you off.
Mm.
And now you start being fearful again and hopeful. And then, okay, what's next? I think it's always about what's next. Because you can prepare, you can save money, you can do all these things, but the emotional burden that comes with it, it's a lot. It's exhausting because you go from being me, me, me. And for some time, this person comes before you.
If you think of what you are describing, and let's use the word that we've used in this room before, let's call it depression. When did you know that something feels different and that you might have to seek help? When was that moment? What happened?
I was detached. I was so detached. I didn't want to talk to anyone. I was exhausted, less sleep, always tired. Mostly I was irritable. Babies cry all the time. They throw up. Sorry, but they do. And now I have to clean up. I'm not proud, but I shouted most of the time.
Hmm.
I would shout. Why did you do this? I'm like, oh, he's a baby. He doesn't know. He's a baby. He's small. But I was so irritable. I was always angry. And came a point where when it was 4 months, I fell on the stairs and broke my ankle. Now I had to do surgery. I was bed bound for 2 months. I was stuck on the bed next to him. Now my sister had to help me out with everything. That on its own added on me, because I don't like being reliant.
Mm.
I feel like I'm burdening someone else.
Right.
So now I'm stuck on the bed. She has to do everything for me. It added to my fuel. It fueled my anger that, okay, I not only lose my job, my freedom, my independence, now I have to rely on someone else for everything, basically. So I shouted a lot, to a point where my sister had to remind me that he feeds from your energy. The more irritable you are, the more depressed, the more you lose interest, you're sad, you have no interest in anything, he's going to be grumpy. It's going to be a cycle. You're going to keep shouting, you're going to keep doing all these things. You want a happy baby? Try to be happy a little bit. Easier said than done. But we tried. You had to get up. And as you said, most of the time, I call SADC. When I feel like...
Wait a minute. So all of this is going down.
Yes.
What made you call SADC? What made you realize that there's someone that would want to listen to you? Because you know what? Depression is lonely.
Very.
And a lot of the time, I'm going to include all of us in this entire room and everyone listening. A lot of the time, we feel that people don't have the time to listen. And I can guarantee you now, not all spaces are safe. And we're going to speak to our psychology coach about this. Because some people don't want to listen. But you called SADAC because they listen. There's people that answer the phone. Mm-hmm. Okay, so what made you call?
Talking to someone outside the house.
Okay.
I felt like I was overwhelming my sister all the time. There's that, and the father of my child, there's that. I'm going through this. I don't feel like I'm a good mom. And you'd be like, you're focusing on the negative. Yes, you're no longer working. Yes, you're no longer doing this. But think about the bond that you're creating with your child. You're not missing out on anything. You're teaching him everything that you want. You don't miss on him sitting up. You don't miss on him crawling. You are there. Focus on that. And sometimes you feel like you want to talk to someone out of your comfort zone. Maybe they might tell me something different. It's not like they tell you anything different, but you want a voice outside the normal, the people that you're used to. Because you, sometimes you feel like they're only, maybe they're feeling sorry or they just want to make you feel better. So someone outside might give me a different perspective.
SADAC that Kelebohile is referring to is the South African Depression and Anxiety Group, and they do a lot of amazing work for people. And as Baby Brunch and as me, I sometimes go on air and I mention that we can call them because they've got counselors on site. I'm glad you called them. I'm glad you called someone. I'm glad you reached out to someone outside of your circle to hear that people's help that they're offering you is truthful and that they want to help you.
True.
Obviously, in this one podcast, we can't summarize 4 years of support.
True. Yeah.
But what are some of the things that has helped you to get back to yourself?
Looking at my son. You know, in this state, they look so cute. And most of the time, when he would be sleeping, I would cry because I'd feel bad. And I'd feel like I was a bad mom during the day. Because maybe he wanted to play and I was not in the mood to play. Or he did something so small and I feel like I overreacted. So now you recollect, like, okay, how was my day?
Right.
Was I a good mom? Did I overdo it? Yeah, I did. And I don't want him to be scared of me. Because at some point, I felt like he was afraid. You could see his little eyes. Because maybe he hurts himself instead of coming to me. He'd be like shying away. And I'm like, no, it's okay. I just want to pet you. So that for me actually was one of the turning points to be like, no, I'm going down the wrong path. He's afraid of me. So recollection of the day and wanting my old life back. Obviously, I cannot have it all because now there's someone else. But reminiscing on the happy me when I used to dress up, lipstick on.
You've got that now, girl.
Yeah, I'm back. Dress up, being happy, looking forward to the day, not waking up and feeling like, oh, I'm dreading it's another day of doing the same thing over and over again.
Finish my sentence.
Depression looks like loneliness, withdrawal, fear, and it's dark. It's exhausting.
What does motherhood look like to you now?
A bowl of Greek salad. There's a whole lot of things. There's love. There's care. There's joy in caring for someone now. That you know that there are other people who love them, but not more than you.
So I want to bring our psychology coach in and have a chat about what this looks like. Eloise Kluter, she is a woman who has walked her own journey in fertility and infertility. In practice, when someone comes to see you or needs advice, what does postpartum depression look like?
What I find in reality really that comes forward is it doesn't always scream the same. For most women, it can appear as numbness, disconnection, anger, resentment.
Right.
It's also guilt. And it's actually a narrative of self-judgment that plays out because you're judging yourself a lot of the time.
It's interesting you say that because now, I mean, one of the things Kelebohile mentioned is judgment. So people look at you and go, well, it's just baby blues. You know, she's just going to... Do we say that?
I think there's a big distinction between, you know, baby blues and people really going through postpartum depression.
So when is it acceptable and when isn't it?
Well, it's not really. Neither of them are acceptable to say baby blues because it's not just a matter of, oh, well, just snap out of it and move forward because you just need to bounce back because that's what you think that you should be doing. It's not really acceptable because you don't know what that person is going through. You don't know what that depression looks like. You don't know if it is on what scale it is.
Right.
So referring to baby blues, which is depression on its own, but it's also, you know, there's one step further, and that is the postpartum depression side of it. And that is the 15% of women who experience going through postpartum depression. It's almost the statistics of 1 in 5 women are actually now going through postpartum depression. And it's not just generally women, but men also.
So it's interesting you say that. What does it look like for our dads? So when we're in relationship, I specifically didn't touch on any men or partners or because I wanted to ask this question to you. If mom is going through signs of depression during pregnancy, before, perhaps there's a desire to conceive. And that's a journey that you personally as a psychology coach has also had. Yeah. You know, there's a desire to conceive or you're pregnant. Your body looks different. There's a lot of changes happening. There's a sadness or what is happening to dad?
Dad is sitting on the sidelines most of the time. Dad doesn't know how to try and step in and be the savior in inverted commas. Dad feels helpless because there's the woman that he loves and he doesn't know how to help her, especially if you're struggling with, you know, infertility, fertility, your body is changing. Remember, they are looking from the outside in towards what your journey is. It's not that they don't understand. They experience it very, very differently to what you are experiencing.
What do we do? How can we support our partners, our dads in relationship when there's a situation where there's depression from the carrying mom or from the mother or from your partner? If someone's listening to this and they know that their partner's going through depression and they have their own sadness to deal with, how do we fix it? What do we do?
You know, it's not about fixing the individual because we're not broken. It's about being able to create that space for the individual to make them feel seen and to validate that the feelings, what they are going through, are real. It's not about, you know, having those perfect words because often healing doesn't come from perfecting words. It comes from just making the individual understand that, you know, you're not judging the person, that they should, it's easy to say that they shouldn't judge themselves, but unfortunately that is the reality, that is what they're busy going through. So from that perspective, it's to be able to say to them that you're not broken, but you're becoming of who you are meant to be and to hold that space for them.
It's interesting you say that because yesterday when we were in the studio, we talked about how the pain is part of the change, you know, how we are all becoming the mom, or like earlier, Kelebohile, you're becoming you, you know, with all these beautiful things that are happening to you. And hopefully when we make these memories, we look back and we say, sure, it was tough, but look, we made it and look where we are now. If there's relationship, I'm an outsider, I see that there's a relationship and I want to help. What are some of the red flags? As an outsider, what am I looking for? Or what am I looking at?
For an individual going through postpartum depression. So the red flags that you would be looking out for is the person getting up in the morning? Do they have the courage to getting dressed? Because the disconnection that happens, especially if they're in a relationship, is often the person going through the trauma or the depression, they will withdraw. There will be numbness. There would be anger. And I think I've touched on it a little bit earlier on. And those are the red flags that you need to start looking out for. It's the person wanting to hide and not wanting to be seen.
There must be a huge discomfort around, I'm pregnant and now I need to go to therapy. The shame, you know. It's the last thing you want. You're carrying a baby. People always create this picture that when we carry babies, we never had alcohol in our lives. We've never smoked. We are angels. I am carrying a child, you know. Shame is so horrible, you know, for lack of a better word. How can we make it okay for people to say, you know what, it doesn't matter whether you're pregnant or had the baby or want the baby. Therapy is okay.
Absolutely, therapy is okay, because there's nothing wrong with an individual putting their hand up and finding the courage to actually say that, you know what I'm feeling is not what I'm meant. This is not living. This is merely surviving. It is not okay. It is being able to be courageous to step up to say that I'm not necessarily looking for the old me, because you will never go back to the old me. It's about being able to say that I'm ready to step into what is coming next. That's what I would say.
Why would therapy be one of the answers?
So, Ilana, depression and postpartum depression, and why it's so important to be in therapy and to get the help that you need. It's not just for yourself. It is for your little one. It is for your partner. And it is for your family. That is why it is important. Because if you don't change what those emotions are going to be doing, which it comes like a thief at night, it robs you from your identity, your self-worth. If you don't go into therapy and keep getting the help that you need, it's going to swallow you whole. And that's why it's important.
Having heard what our psychology coach has just said to us, what's your advice? Eskele Buchile, what do you want to say to all of our moms and dads?
If you ever feel like the weight of being a mother is taking a toll on you, just know that you're not alone. There's a lot of us. We are feeling it. And don't take the depression or postnatal depression as a personal failure. It's just a chapter. There's a whole lot of story that you can rewrite about yourself.
This podcast is supported by Epimax, the dermatologist-recommended skincare range specifically formulated to hydrate, soothe, and protect. Whether it's dry skin, sensitive skin, or just everyday moisture, Epimax has a solution for everybody. Fragrance-free, hypoallergenic, and suitable for all ages. Curaprox aims to create 1 billion healthy smiles. A healthy mouth means a healthy body and mind, creating better health for you. Great oral health starts from day one. It's never too early to start. Curaprox Baby gets your child on the right path of starting healthy oral care habits for life.